Well, warm welcome along to The Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and alongside me are Mark Langdon and James Milton for what is a Champions League special. It is back, and it's in a new format as well. And I think probably the first and the best thing to do, Mark, is to explain how the new format works.
Okay, I think I've got my head around it now, Warren. So, yeah, so first change is that we've gone to 36 teams from 32 at this stage. But the biggest change, of course, is that there's no longer a group stage. It's a league phase. So every team will play 8 games, 4 at home and 4 away, against different opponents. So you'll play 2 teams from pot 1, from pot 2, from pot 3, and from pot 4, but it won't be like Liverpool. If they go away to Bologna, they don't play them at home as well. So you'll play 8 different opponents. The top 8 teams following the league phase of 8 games will go directly through to the last 16. The teams from 9th to 24th will have a playoff round to determine the other 8 sides in that last 16. And I think one of the key points to kind of get across is that I think it does depend where in this league phase you finish, because it will be a seeded draw, almost like a tennis or snooker, based on where you finish. So if you finish in first or second, theoretically you'll play sort of the lesser teams throughout the rest of the competition. So there is an advantage to finishing as high up that standings as you possibly can. And it will mean you'll play your second leg at home. And so you do want to, like I say, even if you've secured a top 8 finish, I mean, sides should be looking to go as high as they can in the league. And that'll be one of the key differences, because last sort of 20 years or so, you know, when the likes of Man City, Real Madrid have won the group, and maybe we know he's already finished bottom, like that, you end up with a lot of dead rubbers. So I think UEFA are hoping that there are fewer games with less riding on it now. I spoke to somebody that said UEFA have modelled this kind of method on more than a million occasions, and they're confident that it does lead to more games with more riding on it more often. So let's hope it turns out to be a move for the better. What I would say is that it's not going to be any worse. The group stage had run its course, I think, over the last 2 decades. So I'm embracing the whole new world of this Champions League phase.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the fans, Mark, were kind of hoping for a change. They think that things have gone a little bit stale for a period of time. So a brand new Champions League format then. We'll look at the outright betting to start off with. Same old names at the top of the outright betting, as you might imagine, though, with Manchester City currently around 2-1, the favourites, Real Madrid 7-2, Arsenal 8-1, Bayern Munich and Barcelona 12-1, with Liverpool 14-1. Mark, we'll start with you in terms of the contenders, and obviously City at the top of the list as things look. And it's, again, for the last 3 or 4 seasons, it's been hard to make a case against them when you consider the ability and what they've shown in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, that they are the best team in Europe and therefore the world. But actually, you look at kind of, you know, when you back them, what you get, what do you get in return in terms of the Champions League? They've only won it once. They always go off as favourites. I backed them before at sort of similar-ish prices. I don't think you can't sort of sit here now and go, oh, you know, they're terrible value, they can't win it, blah blah blah. Of course they can win it. They've got Haaland, they've got De Bruyne, they've got Pep Guardiola, you know, they've got great players all over the pitch, Rodri in midfield. But I think it's competitive enough, and you don't need a lot to go wrong in the Champions League, and that's the key bit, for a favourite to suddenly come up short. In a Premier League sort of scenario, you've got 38 games, haven't you? And we've seen sort of City get it right more often than not when it comes to that sort of final 10, 11, 12 matches or whatever. In a knockout tie, one bad moment, one refereeing error, you know, a penalty shootout, and all of a sudden, you know, a season's hard work can go down the drain. So I respect Manchester City, but I wouldn't be backing them. And I'll throw over to maybe James on Real Madrid. But, you know, there's a team that, you know, in terms of sort of what you get back for when you back them, that the profit loss is a lot higher, isn't it, Milts, in terms of profit?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask, actually, Mark, those million models that UEFA had done, how many of them ended up with Real Madrid winning in dramatic circumstances? Because it seems to be the way in the Champions League. But no, I think Mark's right. You know, City have won 6 of the last 7 Premier League titles, but only won the Champions League once. You know, even that final against Inter was far more nerve-wracking than maybe the betting suggested. So I think there's definitely value in looking beyond the front two. I mean, Real's record in this is extraordinary, and you know, adding Mbappe to that squad is obviously a huge boost for them. But again, at the prices at this stage of the competition, I think it's could be worth looking a bit further down the list.
Well, I mean, I was going to make the point there, Miltz, that you know I'm slightly surprised, and many people might be, that Real Madrid are not the outright favourites, bearing in mind, as you say, the Mbappe transfer in the summer and their record in this tournament. And it goes on to lead to the fact that Arsenal are third favourites as things stand, ahead of the likes of Bayern Munich and Barcelona with their European pedigree. Do you think that's a fair assessment of where Arsenal are at the moment?
I mean, I think it reflects the overall strength of the Premier League. And, you know, Arsenal run City close in the last two seasons, came back into the Champions League last term. And actually, I mean, you know, they were pretty much outplayed by Bayern Munich over the two legs. I think we're going to come on to Bayern Munich's chances this season. But, you know, Arsenal may be lacking a bit of kind of European streetwise nous there. But and they had a lot of luck with injuries last season and already this season, you know, Odegaard injured on international duty. That's a concern for them. So I think Arsenal's price looks about right, but they're going to need a bit of luck to go deep in the Champions League and maintain their Premier League title hopes.
Milt's just mentioned them there, Bayern Munich, Mark. You look at the squad, ordinarily you'd say they've got every chance. I suppose the question mark starts to appear when you look in the manager's dugout.
Yeah, blimey, you don't invite Vincent Company round for dinner anytime soon, are you, Warren? I mean, look, Cup Company's landed on his feet in terms of getting that Bayern Munich job, having been relegated with Burnley. I think it's a very different job, and the Bayern Munich players are probably more likely to be able to play the football that he wanted Burnley to play. He wasn't first choice. It won't take much for the noise to kind of start just questioning whether he's the right person if they have a rocky spell. I mean, one thing that's in Bayern Munich's favour is the Bundesliga is only 18 teams in it, so you're already down to playing fewer games than what Arsenal and Man City have got. The strength in depth for the Bundesliga that is not there. Bottom half Bundesliga, I would expect Bayern most weeks to be able to coast through those games, where I don't think you can say the same in terms of the Premier League. And this is going to be a slog of a competition. As I mentioned, you're getting 8 league stage games now that extends well into the end of January. Like, it's going to be a survival of the fittest. And that's one of the concerns I've got about Man City. A high-quality squad, but maybe one that actually lacks depth. You've already seen, like, Alvarez has gone. So, outside of Haaland, who have they got up front? I look at Bayern Munich, and there is a reliance on sort of Kane for goals. But then they've got a lot of talent and a lot of players and in those sort of midfield and wide areas. And Elise just adds to that. But yeah, I think Bayern Munich can go very well. They would definitely be on my shortlist because you've got Kane up front. I think they need to improve defensively. But Paulinho in midfield will sort of, I think, make steps and strides in that way. And then in sort of those attacking midfield positions, so many different options. Musiala and his dancing feet being one of those. So, yeah, I'd give Bayern Munich a good sort of go, and certainly would not put anyone off backing them at the double-figure odds. And, yeah, definitely on my shortlist.
Yeah, I mean, my concerns about Vincent Kompany is more of his inexperience at this sort of level as a manager. And, Milt, if we look at, say, Barcelona with Hansi Flick in charge, there's somebody there with a lot more experience. But have Barcelona kind of got the squad? As Mark said, it's a tournament with a different format, and you're going to need to try and produce results week in, week out, a little bit like the league. Maybe that's where Barcelona are going to slip up.
Yeah, I mean, Barcelona, I think Barcelona, Bayern, and maybe even Liverpool as well, they're all interesting at that sort of 12-1, 14-1 mark. I think that, you know, there maybe isn't quite that gulf in a competition like this between City and Real and the rest. And Barca are certainly interesting under Flick, who won the Champions League with Bayern, and has, you know, inherited a superb young squad, plus the likes of Lewandowski, who I think scored 15 goals in that Bayern triumph under Flick, admittedly a few years ago. Barca have got a few injuries at the start of the season, but you know, you'd expect them to finish top eight, and certainly they'll be dangerous in the knockout stages. And I think for me, Bayern would get the nod in kind of an each-way bet. You know, we've mentioned Kompany, but then you look at the experience in that squad. You know, the likes of Kimmich and Sane and Gnabry and Goretzka. You know, they all seem to have been around forever, but they're still kind of late 20s. And then the younger players like Musiala, I think they've got a really good chance. The other factor that I like about Bayern is, you know, Mark's mentioned, you're going to have to be ruthless in the league stage if you want a favourable draw. And you don't get much more ruthless than Bayern. The last five seasons in the group stage, they won 28 and drew two of their 30 games. So I think a similar performance like that could really set them up nicely.
Let's talk a bit about then the other British teams that we haven't mentioned so far. Liverpool, which is a 14-1 in the betting in terms of the outright market. Aston Villa around 66-1, and Celtic as big as 250-1. Let's start off firstly with Liverpool, Mark. Should they be setting themselves targets and thinking, let's go deep in this competition, or is it a case of with a new manager, let's just see how it goes?
Well, I think internally that they should be looking to go far in the Champions League. If you're one of the three best Premier League teams, that puts you in a position, or, you know, if things go your way, to win the Champions League. No doubt about that. I look at the kind of the squad depth, and I think it's there in a number of positions, particularly up front. You know, Chiesa come in, didn't he, just before the transfer window shut. So they've got like five or six different forward options, a lot of midfielders who can all do sort of similar jobs. You may be wondering, you know, Gravenberch seems to be very important at the moment in that number six position, and you know he's not going to be able to play every game. They've got rotation in the fullback areas, particularly at right back now. You know, Bradley seems to be coming on a lot. Top goalkeeper. Yeah, I certainly couldn't put anyone off Liverpool for sure. In terms of Aston Villa, I think it's a really sort of big step for them that they've already taken in terms of qualifying for the Champions League. Unai Emre is known as a European master, but how do you juggle you know, those sort of demands of Premier League, League Cup, FA Cup when that comes around, Champions League? And I think that that's going to be difficult. They have tried to boost their squad, and I would expect them, I mean, I'm not sort of giving away any secrets here to say, I'd expect them to finish sort of between 9th and 24th to extend their sort of run into the knockout stages. I mean, they're 66-1, which is probably about right, really. I mean, I'm not saying they can't win it, but there are plenty of others with better chances. And then on to Celtic. Interesting, Opta did like a ranking of how they think the league phase has kind of worked out in terms of draw. And Celtic are perceived to have the easiest draw in terms of average ranking of opponents. So I think that brings pressure actually to Brendan Rodgers to get Celtic into that sort of top 24 now. And you know, they've underachieved, in my opinion, for the last decade. I mean, like this acceptance of them just losing European game after European game, I don't think is right. I think that there needs to be more pressure put on the manager to get slightly better results for Celtic. You know, they have such a strong atmosphere at home. They've been given a run of fixtures where I think they should be aiming now to not be one of the also-rans and to get into the 24. I'm not saying that they'll do it, but that they've been given as good an opportunity as they could have asked for, really, to do that.
Well, we'll look at the other markets available for the Champions League and, of course, the first round of matches in a moment or so's time. But I just wanted to ask your best bets, both of you guys, in terms of the outright market overall. If you're looking at the value bet, we'll start with you, Miltz. What would you be looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bayern Munich each way. I mean, you know, they ran Real Madrid really close last season, you know, a couple of minutes away from knocking them out in the semi-finals, having outplayed Arsenal in the quarters. So I don't think they need to make huge strides to be right in the mix again.
And you, Mark, who would your selection be?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bayern Munich as well. So I'll give them a shout out. But somebody else that I think can go well is Barcelona. I think Flick is better than Xavi as a manager. He's won the Champions League before with Bayern Munich. And you seem like Lamine Yamal on one wing, Rafinha on the other, Lewandowski up front, Dani Olmo, Pedri, Gavi in midfield, Frankie de Jong as well, Ter Stegen in goal. Yeah, that should be capable of winning a Champions League, or certainly getting, you know, to the latter stages. So I'll go for Bayern and Barcelona.
There are a number of other markets, as we say, for you to have a look at ahead of the Champions League action. A league stage winner sees Manchester City as 3-1 favourites, Real Madrid 5-1, Arsenal 13-2. You've got a top 8 finish in the league stage as well. And you've got the likes of Liverpool at 8-11 for that. Aston Villa 100-30. Celtic around 12-1. So plenty of other options if you're looking at other bets. Mark, you, I'm sure, have looked through a number of these markets. Is there anything that stands out to you in terms of a good selection?
Yes, yeah, so I think first of all, it's worth sort of bearing in mind, like, what do you need to do to finish in the top 8? What do you need to do to finish 9th to 24th? So I'm thankful to Football Meets Data on Twitter, because they did the Monte Carlo method, 10,000 simulations of the Champions League, and worked out that it's a 43% chance for 15 points to finish in the top 8, a 27% chance for 14 points, and 16 points is a 29%. So I think the target is 15 points. So that's what you're looking for to get into the top 8. I think that the likes of PSG and Liverpool have been given hard draws. So I like Borussia Dortmund to finish in the top 8. So can they get to 15 points, really? They've got home games against Celtic, Sturm Graz and Shakhtar. Now, you can't say, well, there's 9 points, but I mean, you'd be hopeful of getting 9 points from them games. So they then need probably 6 points from sort of the away games, Club Brugge, Dynamo Zagreb and the Bologna team that has been raided for all of their best players. So I think that that's possible. They might not even need anything from their trip to Real Madrid or the home game with Barcelona. I think the other matches there for last season's runners-up give Borussia Dortmund a really good chance of finishing in the top 8, certainly better than the odds would suggest, of around about 2-1. And then in terms of to finish between 9th and 24th, there's a 77% chance that you need 9 points to get into sort of finishing in 24th position. So you're looking at about 9 points. I mean, PSV, they are odds on to finish between 9th and 24th. But this is a side scored 111 goals last season. They got 91 points. They've kept their squad together. I think Bakayoko and Veerman, two really talented players. Look, they've got some hard away games against PSG and Juventus, but I really like kind of some of their other fixtures, home to Girona, for instance, home to Shakhtar, away at Brest, who was very surprising that they qualified, would expect them to beat Red Star Belgrade. They've got Liverpool on the final day as well, PSV. Hopefully Liverpool have got a top 8 finish in the bag by then, and maybe won't have as much to play for. So, yeah, I thought that PSV to finish 9th to 24th was a way to go.
Miltz, have you got any others outside of the main protagonists who have caught your eye?
Yeah, I thought the odds about Juventus finishing top 8 were quite interesting. I mean, Thiago Motta got Bologna into the Champions League last season, immediately snapped up by Juve. And he's taken over an exciting squad, and they've signed well over the summer. I think, obviously, brought in Douglas Luiz from Aston Villa. And they do travel to Villa in the league stage. They also host Manchester City. But apart from that City game, all their other 7 fixtures are against teams below them in the top 8 betting. So, you know, there are winnable games there pretty much every week for them. And yeah, so around 5-2 to finish top 8 Italian clubs have been distinguishing themselves in European competitions recently. I think it could be Juve's turn to go well this time. And then the night to 24th that caught my eye was Benfica around 4-6. Again, kind of solid European performers. Reached the Champions League quarterfinals in two of the last three seasons. They made the Europa League quarters last season, only lost on penalties to Marseille. And second in the Primera Liga, 8 points clear of Porto, who took Arsenal to penalties in the Champions League last 16. So I think Benfica are one of those sides who will definitely be targeting sort of that 9th to 24th, and they look well capable of that.
So we're looking at the teams who are going to potentially be successful in the Champions League this year. What about the teams who are going to struggle? Because not surprisingly, these days you're able to back who will finish bottom in the league stage as well. All the prices, by the way, are correct at the time of recording. So Slovan Bratislava around about 100-30. Crvena Zvezda, formerly known, of course, as Red Star Belgrade, 9-2. Dinamo Zagreb 5-1, Sturm Graz and Young Boys both 8-1. Have you got a thought on this, Mark? Any particular pick here?
Yeah, look, a big price. Girona are at 40-1. Now you've mentioned kind of a lot of teams there that are definitely worse sides than Girona, but Girona lost basically all of their best players over the summer. You know, it was a sort of Cinderella story for them to finish in the top four. Might not have that fairy tale ending, and they can't play their home games at their own stadium either. So yeah, I was thinking, if you wanted to throw a dart at somebody that could get sort of tailed off, that's surprising, I'd go for Girona. And the interesting thing about Girona is that Ryanair used to call that Barcelona in terms of a destination, and it used to drop you off in Girona, so there was still a bit of legwork to actually get to Barcelona back in the day. But you've got a top goal scorer, Miltz, haven't you, from Barcelona, I believe?
I have, yeah, a promising youngster, Robert Lewandowski. I think, you know, he's 36 now, but I think he really could roll back the years under Hansi Flick. I mentioned earlier, you know, they combined to great effect at Bayern Munich. Lewandowski scored 15 goals in his Champions League campaign when Bayern won the trophy under Flick. And yeah, he's had a terrific impact in his first two seasons with Barca. 42 goals in 65 starts in La Liga. Made a blistering start to the new campaign. And, you know, kind of like Kane at Bayern, he's got so many talented, pacey, creative players around him. You know, I think his finishing quality remains undimmed. And I think he's a nice each-way price at about 16-1. You know, obviously, Haaland could get 25 goals in the league phase, and then you're playing for the places. But I think he's an eye-catching price with Barca expected to go well.
Yeah, I have to say, I was surprised he was as big as 16-1, Robert Lewandowski. That's the thoughts then of Mark and James in terms of all of the outright markets going into the Champions League. Next, we'll discuss the matches as we go into the first round of games. Okay, so action on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday in the Champions League this week. Mark, we'll start with you. Can you pick out your best bets for us?
Yeah, so we're obviously speaking here before the weekend games. Anyone that was watching the assist will recognise the same zipper that I've been wearing. So don't worry, I've not had it on for 4 days running. But so, you know, I just bear that in mind. But yeah, the ones that I like the look of, first of all, would be Atalanta draw no bet against Arsenal. Arsenal in this horrible run of fixtures, you know, three away games in 8 days, Tottenham North London derby, Man City after the trip to Italy, and then obviously this game against Atalanta. It's on a Thursday. Atalanta did very well on Thursdays last season. They won the Europa League, and I thought they played so well for large parts of that competition. Liverpool, just one of the teams that really struggled there. And given that there's 8 games in the league phase, I just wonder if Arteta has got one eye on this game coming up against Man City, because it's such a huge game in the Premier League. He's not a great rotator, Arteta, but he might feel that this is an opportunity. So I'm going to go for the Italians not to lose that game. Arsenal, fairly short price favourites there. Two favourites that I think I can trust more. I'm going for a double. We'll return just shy of even money. It's Paris Saint-Germain to beat Girona and Real Madrid to beat Stuttgart. PSG, a team that I don't think it's possible really to fancy too much in terms of the outright market. Lost Kylian Mbappe. But they take on a Girona team. Salvinio has gone, just one of a number of players that departed this season. So I think there's a good opportunity for PSG to make a winning start. And then also Real Madrid against Stuttgart. Stuttgart with a surprise sort of runners-up in the Bundesliga this season, last season. And with that came the bigger club circling. Again, a bit like Girona, lost key players. Don't think they're as strong this time around. So I'm going to go for Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, and I'm going to make the postman wait.
James, your thoughts? You've got 3 days of Champions League action to look forward to. What's your selections?
Yeah, it's an absolute feast this week. I'm starting out with Liverpool to win at Milan on Tuesday. Kind of a shade of odds on, but I just think they've made such an impressive start under Arne Slot, winning 2-0 in their first three Premier League games. Obviously, a 3-0 victory at Manchester United last time out, as we're speaking. And that was really, really impressive. And Milan defensive standards have been pretty poor so far this season. Needed two late goals to pinch a 2-2 draw with Torino in their opener. They lost at Parma 2-1. Another 2-2 draw at Lazio. I think Liverpool look certainly capable of taking advantage of that kind of vulnerability. You look at the Milan side, kind of Emerson Royale and Loftus-Cheek, Pulisic, Tammy Abraham. I'm not quite sure where that team would finish in the Premier League, but a fair way behind Liverpool, I think.
Okay, well, that's the thoughts of Mark and James on this week's Champions League fixtures. Plenty, as I say, to look forward to with games on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Don't forget, of course, in Tuesday's racing post, there is a Champions League bonanza with all the stats, facts and thoughts of the esteemed team of journalists looking ahead to this week's action. But of course, you can like, subscribe and comment on our YouTube channel as well to our Champions League assist special and our regular assist show, of course, with Premier League and EFL coverage across the board. And if you like golf, don't forget, of course, that the sweet spot is on the Racing Post YouTube channel every Tuesday with Steve Palmer. We'll be back on Thursday with the latest assist. But for the time being, from myself, Mark, and from James, thanks very much for joining us. Enjoy your football and remember to gamble responsibly.